Hi, everyone, and welcome to Advisor Edge, the GVA Way, a podcast series created for financial advisors navigating the complexities of transitioning from a traditional firm or considering branching out independently for the first time. This podcast will deliver clarity and expertise by answering common questions and guiding you through the services and support GVA provides during the transition process. From establishing your brand to building a client base and managing compliance, we'll provide the insights and resources you need to thrive in your new venture. GVA is a full-service, technology-driven RIA. We are 170 advisors strong across 18 states. We provide asset management, compliance, billing, compensation, insurance, brokerage, 401k services, technology, and more to our advisors. And everything we do is scalable for us and you as we place technology in the forefront. Perhaps what we hold to the highest regard is our dedication to the end user, our clients. We like to say we are a family of like-minded individuals who hold our clients' financial interests above our own. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the GVA Way. Welcome to episode number 11 of the GVA Way at Great Valley Advisor Group here in Berwyn, Pennsylvania. I'm the founder and CEO of GVA. And today we have a great guest where I am going to have a nice conversation around practice management with Cynthia Spiegel, who is the owner of Spiegel Strategies and Solutions. So Cynthia, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely.
And when I think about this topic, I honestly can't think of a better person to have the conversation with, right? Because we're going to dive into the client experience. We're going to dive into really the overall practice management of a firm. So before we get into those topics, let's learn a little bit more about yourself and your background.
Absolutely. And yes, very flattered. Probably other people that would be would be good at this topic too, but yeah. Love being here. And you know, I'm one of those that I like to say got sucked into the financial services industry. I was an attorney by background, never practiced, and found my way to the industry and no regrets, right? Like, I think where I am at today would not have been had I not taken the steps that I did in the industry, went through, you know, compliance roles, advisor roles, chief growth officer. And what I really found was my passion was when I had a business partner and we were building a financial practice together. And I absolutely loved helping him get really intentional about the vision and how to execute it and how to bring the humans in and how to develop them and keep them and retain the clients. And finally woke up and said, you know what, that's what I want to do. I want to go do that for other advisors. And he became my first client. I'm still one of my best friends to this day. And so built a consulting business and just kind of let it happen as naturally as it could. And it did.
Yeah. And it's impressive. It's impressive what you built. I've enjoyed working with you, obviously, over the past couple of years. I think we've had a great relationship. And I think this podcast in general is just long overdue. So one of the things that we like to provide for those listening is some actionable items, right? Yeah. Hey, what are some good takeaways that you can have from the podcast? And as we start 2025, let's really dive into that human capital experience. And as business owners or individuals that might be listening to this saying, hey, what are some of the challenges I'm going to face or the headwinds if I really want to have a successful firm?
Yeah.
Because you can only do so much to get to that point.
Yeah.
And then it comes down to when you start to get overwhelmed or overloaded, human capital is a big factor. We're not talking strictly hiring and firing.
Right.
Big part of it.
Yeah.
But let's start with the vision. Let's start with how to create that vision, you know, before even launching into independence, or even if you're already here, redefining that and how that's so important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, you ask anybody in the industry today what the top, you know, topics are that advisors are facing, human capital's at the very top everywhere, no matter how big or, you know, what growth rate you're aiming for. Everybody talks about the hiring, the firing, the attracting talent. But if you don't start first with like a very clear vision for what you're trying to build and why, right? What is the purpose behind it? What, you know, even when people say, well, I like helping people, usually there's a story, right? And I think the more that you can get really clear and open about the why and exactly what you're trying to build, then the human capital and the infrastructure and the, all the other pieces actually fall into place much more easily. Yeah. And I also feel very strongly that if you don't share that consistently with everybody in the firm, you're missing, right? You're missing out a lot, all the way back to hiring, right? So you want to attract people that align with what it is that you're setting out to do, that have similar, if not, you know, at least somewhat similar goals and values for how they want to be in their career. Sure. If you're a high growth rate, you know, kind of advisor, somebody's not going to love their role if they're used to, like, you know, kind of the slow pace, like lifestyle practice. And so you've got to really be clear about that up front.
Absolutely. And are there any specific strategies around creating that vision or any specific like mindsets that come to mind, quite frankly, when you're thinking about this?
Yeah. So one thing, I mean, whether you do this with a consultant, a coach, or, I mean, gosh, these days you could probably just AI, you know, like,
How do I create my vision?
But just sitting down, pen to paper, and I would say not just by yourself, you know, if you're married, your spouse, your partner in life, like, what is my vision for this firm, or what is our vision if you have a business partner? Who do we want in the firm? Who do we want to lead? What do we want our role to be?
Correct.
How do we think about human capital? Do we want you know, the firm to be able to run itself without us because we're building an enduring firm? Well, if so, who are those people, right? And what do they stand for? And who are we really looking to attract? And so I think just sitting down, pen to paper, and doing that, and then very importantly, bringing it to light to the rest of the firm, right? And so that could be, you know, a quarterly firm planning day. Obviously, owners need to have their own time to kind of vision set and align, right? But having the actual team be a part of those conversations and give input or excitement around, hey, here's where we are.
Yep.
And not just here's where we are, hope you like it. What are your thoughts, right? Like, what do you guys see? What are our blind spots when you're thinking about the client experience? How does this fit with that?
Correct.
And really engaging them and then continuing to do that.
So important. I mean, sharing the vision amongst the firm is so important. And that kind of leads us into a next point that I think is top of mind, especially when we are working with advisors to go independent. So something you touched on earlier, we were saying those quarterly meetings, a lot of our offices follow the EOS model, right? So there's accountability factors. I think we've talked about on the podcast before. So that's something that just as an actionable item, take that away and say, hey, I'm going to look into EOS.
Yep.
And that is huge, especially if you want to grow and you want to scale. Systems and structures like that being put in place and everybody fully understanding them is extremely important.
Absolutely. Right?
And, and then that's going to lead into the client experience, right? So as you build your firm, you've got your vision, you have your why am I here? Here's what we're doing. You have maybe a couple employees to begin with, and maybe you're not looking to grow into a, you know, like to a GVA or to a larger practice, but more niche and focused in on that area. Talk to us about the client journey and why that is such an important piece.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You think, okay, revenue, right?
Yeah.
Like can't exist without revenue, and people won't have roles on a team without revenue. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But you also need the infrastructure, the experience, the people to keep the revenue, right? And to keep the clients and have a very a client experience that distinguishes you from the commoditized, you know, everybody does a plan now. Everybody does investment management, insurance. That's just the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one of the things I like to encourage advisors to do is, again, even with the entire team involved or small, you know, ad hoc groups, is to really uncover what do we want our clients to say about the experience from the moment we first reach out to them. Like if I ask someone or somebody asks them, hey, describe what the experience has been, what are you hoping they'll say? Mm-hmm. And do you think they're actually saying that, or are you actually providing that, right?
Yeah.
And then back into, okay, from the moment, right, onboarding, it's a perfect example. Everybody thinks, oh yeah, it's an, you know, operations role. You just, you know, it's a little bit administrative. It's a lot of minutia. It's a lot of detail. But that is the absolute, in my mind, most important first experience that the client's going to have in the firm.
Couldn't agree more.
And it is going to be choppy because it just is, right? And so you got to know that. But to be really open up front and, you know, make it easier for the client, be very clear about the process, be really good about streamlining it and not having too many hands in the pot, and thinking about how to elevate it, right? Like, how do we make this more than just signatures and documents and disclosures?
Send us your statements. Let's sign some documents. Like, here come the ACATs.
And you know what? There's some people in these ops roles that love engaging with people. Like, they don't want to just press buttons and get signatures, right? And so thinking about, hey, what does it look like to have maybe for our ANA Plus clients a more concierge level onboarding experience? Maybe there's even somewhere in there where they're asking for preferences, interests. What do you like to do? What's your favorite author? What are some events that interest you? So that, again, you're also capturing that, right? So later, you can cater to those things. And I know you and I have talked about this, like personalize it. Like, you've got to do the work to understand and uncover and ask the questions. And I think the onboarding experience is a perfect place to start that.
Yeah. And I think when you look at the onboarding experience and just as all the tools around onboarding, like, hey, you know, you could plug this tool into your firm and it'll be a seamless onboarding experience and you don't have to do anything, and or you can use this tool and we're going to gather all the information. And that's fantastic, right? And I'm sure there's ways to drive down the percentage of, you know, not in good orders, the NIGOs that you experience in the firm. But at the same time, you really want to still be communicating throughout the entire process. The human element is so important in this, right? And I think that that's something that sometimes can get overlooked. And that's it's just a really good point when looking at the overall structure of the firm and how you should be operating. And to further that point, I feel like once we do bring on a new firm with branding and their message and the marketing piece, the next conversation that you're having is, how are you going to onboard those clients? So something not to be overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so you had talked about it earlier with regards to feedback and that feedback loop and how you get feedback. But I think as you hire and bring on new individuals to the firm, right? Maybe you have one or two employees to start, then all of a sudden you grow to 5, then 7, then 10, then 15. If you are looking at being one of those larger firms, setting clear expectations.
Yep.
Understanding what you should be doing in your role. And staying in that channel. There is always overlap in small to medium-sized businesses. I mean, you know, right? When you first start a business, you're wearing as many hats as possible, right? Your compliance, your asset management.
Who's got this?
Who's got this? Who's got that, right? But then all of a sudden, you start to put together a game plan of who's going to do what. And as the business owner or the main partners of the firm, you have to clearly define what those individuals should be doing.
Yeah.
So any thoughts around that or anything that you've seen throughout, you know, consulting?
Yeah,
that would be helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we had 3 hours, I could share a whole lot, but for 3 days.
Let's not do 3 hours on the podcast.
So, you know, you mentioned EOS, which I think is a phenomenal kind of framework for a lot of this stuff. And EOS, you know, is a great place to look. But again, you could look anywhere for accountability chart, organizational chart, right? I actually love how Gino Wickman calls it an accountability chart because it's more of who's leading whom, right? And you can have multiple people doing that. And so I think, again, back to the vision, be very clear about what are the different functions in the firm, who should be responsible for what, who should be accountable to whom. And then that will help you get very, very clear on what is the role and what are the clear expectations for that role. And I'll tell you, one of the big misses that I see sometimes is the clarity, right? So it's like, oh, well, these are your job functions. And then suddenly there's hopefully a quarterly conversation, because I think annually is way, you know, way too slim.
So you're saying more feedback than just one time a year.
There needs to be constant, and especially early on. I mean, in the first 90 days, there should be even a 10-minute, 15-weekly check-in. What's working? What's not? Where are we? How do you feel? Are you clear? Are you not clear? You know, where are we? But I think in a role description, a lot of times what I feel is missing is it's just the function and not the behaviors that you're looking for, right? And so you have advisors saying, well, they just don't take initiative. Well, they probably don't see that in a role description, right? And so to me, there's the job functions, like, you know, seamless experience for client onboarding, open the accounts, accuracy, you know, all that. But then What does the owner, advisor, leader want to see them do as far as behavior?
Yes.
You know, staying, taking initiative, right? Bringing ideas to the table, asking clients for feedback, you know, whatever it is, be very, very clear and then use that as your guide moving forward.
Got it. Yeah. And that goes back to the journey and then defining the leaders within the departments, right? As
exactly.
you grow. Who's responsible?
Yeah, who's doing that?
Who's doing that? And if it's not getting done, where's the responsibility lie?
Yeah.
And so that was the final point really is empowering leaders at every seat.
Yep.
Right. And if you do have someone that is in charge of asset management, or you do have someone's in charge of insurance, or you have someone that's, you've gotten to the size where you have someone overseeing all these different channels, how is that being communicated and how are you helping those individuals grow and feel like they're responsible
yeah.
for portions of the business, right?
Yeah.
Like if something doesn't go right, they're going to be held accountable.
Right.
And that's most individuals looking to grow enjoy that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some people get caught up and they're like, I don't want to say anything because I'm nervous or I'm hesitant.
Yeah.
And if I say anything, I might lose this person. In order to grow, unfortunately, I can just tell you from personal experience, you're going to have uncomfortable conversations, right?
Absolutely.
And as long as those uncomfortable conversations are focused on a team atmosphere and you're taking them, you know, appropriately, it's just for the growth of the firm, right?
Yeah.
You need to communicate those things. It's not always going to be the highest of highs in a small or medium-sized business. You're going to get the lowest of lows. And it's just, that's how it goes. I mean,
yeah.
there's nothing around it. I mean, how you portray yourself, how you communicate, how you hold yourself out is very important as a leader. But with that does come some road bumps.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I like to always think about and talk about with advisors and firms is, you know, this concept of act like the role you want to be in the future, right? Like act today, like where you're wanting to go yeah. so that you don't have people and you need to inspire, you know, people and ask them those questions like, you know, what is it that you want and where do you want to be? And, you know, usually compensation is, of course, a piece, right? But it's also, I want autonomy. I want to influence. I want this or that. And it's like, well, how are you going to get there? Right. And it's like, well, once I'm a leader, once I'm
yes.
deemed a leader, I'll start acting like one. I mean, that's sort of the mindset sometimes. And
Correct.
It's like, no, inspire people from the start. You don't know who your leaders are going to be necessarily. And so really those feedback conversations, the development conversations, the quarterly
Huge.
Touch points, you're uncovering what these people are inspired by. And when you see a potential leader, you got to pour into them, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the work is going to be done by them of saying, no, I'm going to start acting this way. You know, maybe I'm in charge of client onboarding, but there's only one of us right now, right? And the next hire comes on and you empower them. Hey, what do you want this training to look like, right? How do you want that person to learn the role and the vision and the value and why we're doing what we're doing? And then watch them as they grow and see how they take the initiative to build
yep.
upon that. And that's where you start to see your leadership.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we're probably going to have a second podcast. I think you knew that was coming.
Now that I know I can fly from St. Simons and it's only like an hour and a half, I'm good.
Perfect, right? Except
yep.
we might have to do the next one down there. So instead of
oh my gosh,
yeah,
yes, so that would be phenomenal.
We might have to do it down there. But before we wrap up today,
yeah,
you know, we'll hold off on the distinctive client experience. Outside of podcasts, outside of consulting, running your business, what is it you like to do?
Love this question. I think I told you recently, I'm in a phase of life where I'm kind of rediscovering a little bit about what I love and what's, you know, what I'm passionate about aside from my business,
sure.
which is definitely a big one. I love photography. And no, I'm not like good and I'm going to actually have like, you know, photos to buy on my website
or
anything like that.
Put some in our new office.
This is not a plug. Do not look. But I love it. And I did a workshop years ago in Telluride with a really cool photographer. By the way, I'll give a plug for him because he's awesome. His name is Andrew Slayton.
Okay.
And he is just a cool guy, amazing photographer. And he does these workshops around the country. Okay. And this year he's decided to do epic once in a lifetime excursions. And so I'm going to be going to New Zealand in December
wow.
for at least 10 days, probably going to extend that and do a photography workshop there, which I'm really excited about.
That sounds amazing.
And then hot yoga. I love hot yoga. Just found a club down the street that does it. So I'm very excited about that. I love wine. I mean, people don't really, you know.
So you enjoy the Napa trip.
Yeah, I do. So, yeah. I enjoy Napa. You don't really want to call wine a hobby. People kind of frown upon that, I guess. But it's, I love the experience of going on trips, wine tasting. So
photography, hot yoga, and wine.
Yeah. And I have, I have gotten into a little bit of adult coloring books lately.
Okay.
And not like the scandalous adult coloring books. I feel like that's what
advanced. We're going to say advanced.
Right? We're going to call it advanced.
We're going to call it advanced coloring
books. It's such a cool, I mean, if anybody is listening and ever liked coloring or being artistic, like you can get lost in that. And we just did something with some girls the other day and it was so much fun.
Sounds amazing. Yeah. Throw some wine with that too.
Yeah. There may have been wine flowing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, thanks again for joining us today. This has been a pleasure having you.
Absolutely.
I think we'll have a second one here. But Cynthia Spiegel from Spiegel Consulting, and thanks again for joining.
Thank you.
The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.